Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Dom time. The doctor's in our weekly visit with the one and only Scott Presler. Fresh off what I witnessed in person, mesmerizing, down there in Avalon over the weekend. Let's go to Scott Presler. Hey, Scott, congratulations. People loved it, as always.
Thank you, Dom. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Scott. So the New Jersey people, Scott, you talked about this on Saturday down in Avalon. What are some of the things they're telling you are important, grassroots, in this upcoming election?
Well, I've been in New Jersey for the last better part of a week. And, you know, I'm new to this state. I know Pennsylvania really well, but this is a new venture coming to NJ. And so when I come in, you know, the best way to experience something is to really be in the thick of it. And so a couple days ago, I met with one half of the county chairs, and this covered Cape May to Atlantic, Camden, Gloucester, Middlesex, and Monmouth. And now I feel like I know half of the state. And so today I'm meeting with the other half of the chairs that's going to encompass more of North Jersey. Now, when it comes to South Jersey, one issue in particular that really stands out is the people, at least from what I'm surmising, are very against the offshore wind turbines that Democrats, notably Governor Murphy and the legislature, really, they're profiting off of the killing of our marine wildlife and our whales, et cetera. And so this is an issue I think that you're going to see really percolate up to the surface, no pun intended, going into this gubernatorial election. And I hear that President Trump, he is even perhaps going to sign on day one an executive order banning offshore wind turbines from being put up on day one of his assuming office. And I think that's going to be very important, that conversation, especially going into November of this year in New Jersey.
Absolutely. And also you talked about affordability across the board. And again, Scott, you know, I think people there would like to hear you as a strategist. You've morphed into that, not just people. You made this point out there registering people to vote about how to talk about affordability, because it's obvious the party that has made it so unaffordable up and down the line have been progressives, Murphy, and other Democrats. Republicans ought to be able to win just on that issue alone.
Well, I had a conversation with Politico earlier today, and she asked me a question, the reporter, which I found a little interesting. You know, she says, how do you reach out to Black voters in general? And I just, you know, I always find that kind of interesting, because no one will really ask you, you know, how do you reach out to white voters? And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but I'm like, look, I would talk to the Black community the same as I would talk to every other community. And I would say New Jersey Democrats have made it very difficult for people to afford homes. They've made it very difficult to afford businesses, and especially in relation to wanting to have a family and wanting to create a legacy for your family. Well, there is nothing better than having a generational wealth through home ownership and through business ownership. And I would argue that the insanely high taxes, property taxes, just make it difficult in general for every single family in New Jersey and in other states across the country to create that wealth. And so that's why I'm hopeful that in the voter registration that we're doing and the getting people to commit to voting this November, well, let's have a change in direction, a change of leadership. And you not only have the ability to elect a Republican governor this November in New Jersey, but the state assembly, the assembly seats are also up for election. So if you want the governor to be able to legislate, then you need to vote from the top of the ticket to the bottom of the ticket.
Absolutely. And again, Scott, several people told me coming away, meeting you, the tactics that they heard from afar about how doable this is. Even several people were texting me talk of a Presler bus. I certainly would love to see that across the state of Jersey. Come on now.
You know, I mean, I would consider it. You know, the majority of my time is going to be spent in Jersey this year. And gosh, I love Pennsylvania. And I hope that people are still going to continue to register to vote in that state. But I tell you, it makes my life a whole lot easier going from 67 counties to 21.
Oh, absolutely. But on Twitter, you were touting today, we do have new Pennsylvania registration numbers.
We do. And actually, here on speakerphone just for a second, because I want to read this very clearly, and I want to communicate the actual numbers. Okay, so get this. And I posted beforehand, you know, this is total domination. This is the destruction and erosion of the Democrat Party that we're seeing, especially in Pennsylvania. Okay, guys, get this. A week ago, Democrats had an advantage of 211,700 voter registrations. Today, because we got that data every Monday, that lead has been narrowed to 207,900. So it's January, Dom. This is fresh off the year. We just had a major presidential election, and the Democrats in the last 7 days lost a net loss of 3,800 voters. Now, there was no purge. It's not like these counties are still purging voters. 473 Republicans, for whatever reason, they flipped to Democrat. But at the same time, 1,423 Democrats switched to Republican. So I think what's going on is you're seeing people are excited about the incoming president, Donald J. Trump, our 47th and 45th. They're saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe what's happening with the wildfires and the complete incompetence and the dereliction of duty from the one-party Democrat-controlled state of California. And furthermore, even more national, is they are thinking, wow, 159 Democrats voted against the Lake and Riley bill. And I really want to hone in on this for a second. 159 Democrats in the House of Representatives voted against the detaining of illegal aliens that are responsible for theft-related crimes. You really have to ask yourself, why would any responsible American, regardless of party, be against detaining illegal aliens, especially those who have committed theft, who have committed crime? And furthermore, if we as responsible Americans truly care about women, you always hear about how important women are, which they are. Wasn't Molly Tibbetts important? Wasn't Lake and Riley important? Wasn't Jocelyn Nungery important? Wasn't Kate Steinle important? And the list goes on and on and on. And I think Americans are tired of the Democrat Party selling us out and not putting American citizens first.
Beautifully put. And from what I'm told, Scott, Mickey Sherrill and the Gottheimer guy, they're the two leading Democrats, the people I trust in Jersey, on the other side for governor. Both of them didn't even show up to vote. And the reason that's even worse, they didn't show up to vote. They couldn't figure a way to vote. They wanted to vote no to Lake and Riley, but they realized even in Jersey, we're seeing the turnaround. And Scott, again, the highlight to me, though, is in the middle of all that, and these people in Avalon are celebrating you, et cetera, you take the time to talk about the, quote, unsexy but most important thing going on in Pennsylvania. Three of these Democrats up for retention this time around. It's an easy vote, vote not to retain. And this is one we control because it's low turnout. If we remember it and we're on it, we can turn the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. So yes, even and real quick, just for the New Jersey voter that's listening, I just want to repeat what Dom just said. Two of the leading Democrat gubernatorial candidates, Sherrill and Gottheimer, that are running to be your governor, they did not even vote either for or against the Laken Riley bill. That issue of illegal immigration is so toxic right now to the disgraced Democrat Party that they wouldn't even vote for it. And furthermore, your two Democrat senators, while 89 senators in a bipartisan fashion got their act together and pushed forward the Laken Riley bill, neither Kim nor Cory Booker voted. They voted against pushing forward the Laken Riley bill. That is the state of Democrats in New Jersey, just to really hone in on the issue, because that's important. Now, in Pennsylvania, we do have three Democrat Supreme Court justices that are up for retention this November. And so in addition to our work in NJ, we are continuing in PA, and I'm asking every single Pennsylvania voter, if you believe that the election was stolen in 2020, as I do, these Democrat Supreme Court justices allowed for mail-in ballots to be received 3 days after Election Day. They contributed to the shenanigans in 2020. To any of the Green Party people that are listening right now to 1210 Talk Radio, in 2020, these Supreme Court justices voted to kick off a Green Party candidate from the ballot for president in 2020. These Democrat justices are against democracy, or they would have allowed the Green Party on the ballot. And furthermore, to any of my people that will never forgive or forget COVID, and that these Democrat justices allowed for Democrat Governor Wolf to shut down Pennsylvania through emergency declaration orders that had no limit, then I'm asking you to vote no to retention to Justice Daugherty. I'm asking you to vote no to retention to Justice Wecht. And I'm asking you to vote no to retention to Justice Donahue. And if we get out 1.5 million no to retention votes, you have the power, the voter at home, to reshape the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Scott, no Jersey numbers available yet?
Jersey is at the beginning of every month.
Okay. All right.
So I shared those numbers with you, and they are now under 900,000.
Absolutely. Scott, where do we go to help out? And again, people were contributing at the end of your talk the other day. They were right there on your site to contribute. Where do people go?
Well, thank you again for hosting that event. And I want to give a shout out to the Icona Hotel and USIS. Thank you for your hospitality and inviting us. And people can support our work financially at earlyvoteaction.com. You will be seeing me in February traverse New Jersey's 21 counties doing trainings. And I look forward to meeting all of y'all.
Thank you, Scott, very much. What a pleasure. Exciting, impactful. To be continued.
Thanks, Dom.
Scott Presler here on Talk Radio 1210. It was, you know, it was a long trip to the shore. Roe went with me. And Scott Presler just delivers. So I was happy to be part of that. We may have another Jersey update tomorrow, something exciting. I can't say yet. We're working. They want to come on tomorrow after they announce and be with us on Tuesday's show. By the way, analog clocks, you know, that's a pretty good analogy for cursive, right? That we've lost the ability to read it. I think I could still read it, but I had to read one under pressure of fighting with a guy. I was doing a national show in Washington, Jim Bohannon's show, and was Michael Eric Dyson, who is kind of a racial hustler of a sort. It was his book, and we were really getting it, and I had to hit it within 3 or 4 seconds, and I hadn't looked at an analog clock in years, and I did it, but I was still But if it were in cursive, I can't imagine. It just stuns me. All right, so we'll get back.
You're saying they both take a second to, you know, kind of internalize.
Yeah, well, the analog does, you know, under, and I just looked at the clock and went, oh my God, about a minute before, I forgot. And again, if I'm sitting there looking at it, I could do it. But we're arguing back and forth.
Right.
This guy takes no prisoners. And he's in studio with me, and his whole entourage is there with the book and everything. And it's my first time doing that national show in studio with somebody like that. And they have an analog clock up. I'm thinking I'm in prehistoric times. Is it 48? Is it 47? Hike. All right. But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
All right. We have a $50 gift card. Always comes in handy to Ace Hardware. Did you receive an Ace Hardware gift card over the holidays? In celebration of National Use Your Gift Card Day, Saturday, January 18th, treat yourself to a wide selection of high-quality products at your local Ace Hardware. For more information, visit acehardware.com. Henry?
Yeah, Dom. So today's side question, who that all-time rags to riches story. Song about going from rags to riches, in a sense, is Donna Summer's She Works Hard for the Money.
Right.
So I'm going to play a cover of that song today. I want to hear from you guys, the listeners, what language is this cover being sung in?
Delving into Dan's side, the language thing. Sometimes we need some clues after that, but let's play it straight.
Really rolling those R's too.
Yes. So what is the language you're hearing with the fabled Donna Summer here? That's what we're looking for. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push pound 1210.
It's Don Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, it is Dom's Money Melody for a big prize, $50 gift card to Ace Hardware. Maybe we'll have them most of this week. What language is his all-time song being sung in? All right, hit us with that. Let's try Deborah in Maple Shade. Hey, Deborah, afternoon. What language is that?
Danish.
Close.
Okay.
Kissing cousins. Thank. Very close, Deborah. Todd in Telford. How alliterative, Todd in Telford. Todd, what's the language?
Hi, Dom.
Hi.
Hey, I think it's Swahili.
No, I don't remember us doing it in Swahili. It might sound a little bit more difficult. One more, then we might give another clue here. Frank, what language is it?
Based on first call, you're going to change my answer. My answer is Lithuanian.
You're sort of in the region. All right, this country really beat back the Russians in World War II. Mm-hmm. So much so, a lot of skill with fighting in snow and white clothing and all that stuff. The Russians had an unbelievable time. I think they essentially gave up in World War II. Henry, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I'd say this country is known for its heavy metal music, okay, unlike its two very similar neighboring countries.
And it's often wins the happiest place on earth.
Yes, yes.
And definitely. One of the reasons is apparently a lot of research and is saunas. They're big into it. David in Cherry Hill. David, what's the country?
Oh, God. Well, I guess because of all the hints you gave me, I'm going to go with Norway.
Close.
So close.
We are very close. So we had Norway. We had Denmark. By the way, Greenland looks like they're going to do it. It's going to be a big, I think within a year, we're going to be broadcasting from Greenland. Oh, man. I was once offered the ability to broadcast from North Korea. That's the only time I said no.
Oh, come on.
No, because they said, well, you can broadcast, but if you say anything they don't like, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gail in the Northeast. All right, Gail, what's the country?
I was, it's a guess,
Portugal.
Portugal. All right. So it's near Norway. It's near Denmark. We'll take these off.
I think Bill's going to get it if you go to
him. Think so?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go to Bill in Marlton. Bill, what's the country?
Let's finish up with Finnish.
Yes, the Finns.
Finland.
Dan and Henry kind of like the Finnish accent or something there. Very nice, Bill. You're headed off to Ace Hardware. Hopefully we'll have the same prize again tomorrow.
It's a very difficult language to hear because, you're rolling your R's, so you'd think like, it would be like a Spanish-speaking, Portuguese, but, in that vein. It's not. It's just up in Europe.
Yeah. Dan has done it a few times, too. All right, so Bill's the winner today. I wanted to play this, Henry, cut 12. More happening in California today, and we're reduced to the lowest level. Again, why does this concern us now? Well, human beings, 24 dead, but also they want $250 billion. When it comes down to it, that's what they're looking for. President Trump is going to tour it, apparently sometime soon, maybe before the inauguration, I think. Here is the actress that one of the people who starred in Community. The other actress, Kim Whitley, I'm not sure. I think Yvette Nicole Brown was one of the five or six people in the TV show Community. Listen to what they say about what's happened here with the mayor, Karen Bass, who's African-American female.
Let me tell you something. She's got a spine of steel.
Yes.
And she's also been a black woman in America a very long time. So none of this is new to her. We're mad because we're tired of it.
We're mad for her.
We're mad for her. And we're going to stand. Listen, I don't know how you're here, but I'm happy you're here. Somebody needs to say.
To stand behind her and support her. Because how is she handling it? You can see it in her face. She stays calm. But think about this. She has the city to take care of. She does not have time to hear from
and
these reporters.
She is also not mayor of every municipality in California.
Yes.
There are people that are mad that she didn't fix the fires in Malibu. She's not the mayor of Malibu.
You're right.
What is she supposed to do in a city she's not the mayor of?
People don't understand.
And let me say this, too. I could imagine how much it would hurt to see this happening in the city that she loves. That's first.
Number
so take
one.
Away how it feels for people to attack her. She's heartbroken because this is happening in her city, a city that she loves. That's
and the people don't understand. They don't understand how large it is because a lot of people are sitting in other parts of the city. They're not in it. They're not in the fire. They're not in the smoke. They don't see. They're not there. They're watching TV. Why? And they want to blame some. This is not the time to blame. It's time to get some resources. She has reached out far. We have.
All right. So we haven't talked about it with callers as much now. We're getting to the point now where it's going to be the cost as this gets contained somewhat. But can you imagine right away the race card? The woman stays in Ghana. Newsom seems to be more of the face of it. Yeah, he's bad too. But Karen Bass is the worst in this. I mean, the whole outfit, the simple things, they're using convicts now in firefighting. How about using them to clear the brush? How about doing a better job on that? How about putting in reforms that don't worry so much about a small fish, the smelt, and there was a flower they were afraid of to put in forms of changing from wood to structures that wouldn't burn like this as far as the infrastructure. But no, we're going to go down this path. So how in the world are we going to give them $250 billion in federal taxpayer money or thereabouts? And Republicans are saying they're going to attach strings to this. We had on Alan West, and he said, how are you going to attach strings to this, people? They're not going to recall Karen Bass. It's amazing, but it's not even close to that. They have 100,000 signatures. So what, based upon what she's done? Newsom? Recall him? No way. There might be fledgling attempts to do it. They're not going to do that. This is their ideology. They're going to stick with it. So then, what do we do to make whole people that are victims of being inside this? I'm not just talking the Hollywood type, the 5,000 to 10,000, 15,000, whatever, that are in the industry that are insufferable and still continue to say the same things. I get that. But I'm talking to the average, a lot of average people just burned out completely. There's insurance difficulties given California's regulations. Do you say, well, we're going to punish them because They voted for this. They continue to vote for this. I don't think we're going to do that. But what strings do you attach to these people? What do you do to stop this? It is a disease, a mentality. Progress, they'll do it again. This is what they're going to do. I've said often that often progressivism is silly. We joke about it, you know, all the nonsense that goes into it. But at its root, it also can be deadly. And this is an example of it. Now, of course, it's climate. They're pushing back on that. They're pushing back on race. They're pushing back on how overwhelming this is. Well, all these things were apparent. You know where you are. People in Florida know hurricanes. They know wildfires are fairly consistent here. And they have been consistent well before the fears of climate change. So what do you do to take steps that are deemed at least reasonable, if not extraordinary, to prevent it? That's your role. That's why you would think you want to be in power, because you want to protect citizens. That's the first duty of government. The average citizen can't do that. They could do it better if they were in power than the people that are there. They don't care about that. That's not the reason they wake up in the morning. It's their own power. It's DEI. It's any number of things. Look, Newsom's bored. He wants to be. I get that. You know, when you're one of these governors on the edge of potentially being president, heaven forbid, like Josh Shapiro, you got to fake it. You're really looking, man, national. President, that's what I want. I get that. But it is your job. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Haven't gotten that many in yet that I like. Overwhelming. I want to be overwhelmed. Hit us with an all-time great rags to riches. Today on the calendar is Horatio Alger Day. By the way, Inner Excellence that A.J. Brown was reading yesterday is now coming close to being number one on Amazon.
Oh, you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is surprising. We've never seen a player do that before. And the fact that he tries to read two books a month, that's pretty good. You know, if I get one a month done, I'm thinking, wow, it's bad. But two a month.
Yeah, keep that mind focused.
Yeah, it is calming, peace, and all that. I don't have any problem that he was reading that on the sideline. I don't know what else he'd be looking at.
Yeah, would you rather him throw another tantrum in his locker than we'd be talking
about
it?
Yeah, I mean, he only had one reception yesterday, so he was calming doing that. That's all good. It's 855-839-1210. You can get in on everything we've been talking about, including the Sixers arena, January 6th pardons. I think Trump is going to reach a case-by-case decision. That's what you're going to see. You still may see 1,000 pardons or commutations on Inauguration Day, but it's not going to be wholesale, and that is exactly the right way to go. And the other thing is the federal money. Strings attached for California, but we had a lot of action all over the place on the curse of things, so much so that the National Archives wants you to volunteer if you can read and transcribe cursive. They don't have enough people to do it. It's such a rare thing. It's just stunning to me that that could be the case, but apparently it is. 855-839-1210. And this pizza place that we're going to try to get on, in England, has in their menu $125 if you want a normal size pizza. First of all, I'm not getting pizza in England. It's ghastly, the very idea. What could go wrong?
It's not very good.
No, I don't remember too much stuff that I did like a couple times I've been through there. But they're doing that to show their displeasure. Yet they cite a poll that says close to 50% of people are supportive of that ham and pineapple on a pizza. If you're one of them, you have to give us a call. You are just, you're a defiler of pizza. I mean, that's what this comes down to. I just two requirements for pizza. It'd be good and it'd be crisp and it would be thin. Those are only my requirements.
Those are fair requirements.
Yeah, the sloppy type of stuff. That's not my, and no toppings. Henry, is there... You can't be a two-topping person. One, we can let you get away with. What's your topping?
Really?
Yeah, I just, oh, it's too
man.
Much.
Oh, I can only have one topping?
Yeah, only one topping,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, jeez. Sweet peppers.
Sweet peppers.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Why put that on a pizza?
Give it a little sweetness. What do you mean?
All right. I
a little sweetness, a little tang.
It's great by itself. I don't get the need for it, but okay.
I think it's great by itself, too. Yes. But, like, yeah, if you ask me one topping, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm going.
All right. Gotcha. But the Hawaiian version. Hawaii, again, here we go. 855-839-1210. Jump in now. All right, it is stop time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. So the Biden legacy happening, foreign policy speech today. U.S. is more capable and better prepared than we were 4 years ago. My goodness, when will it end? But on top of that, National Review today told you the face of the Biden years, Rachel Levine, is a perfect person to represent the craziness that's going on here. All right, Mike and Pittman, Talk Radio 1210. Mike, afternoon to you.
How you doing, Dom? You're going to have to excuse me. My head blew up because I was waiting on call for 10 minutes or so. You guys get too much stuff in.
Okay.
Okay, the initial topic was the...
The cursive, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, I was in the military, so we had to print in the log books. I can do my name, and I can read it, but I can't. I'd have to. It's one of those things, if you don't do it, you could lose it, you know?
Yeah, so, Mike, although those years, though, even if you were in the military printing, you never had to write cursively, huh?
No. No.
Wow.
I try doing it, like, when I'm in trouble with my wife or something, on the card or something with the flowers, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That, yeah, on the card. Absolutely, Mike.
But I gotta get the card a month in advance.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for the call. That's when you need it. Heartfelt letter. In cursive. 855-839-1210. Gary in Newtown. Hey, Gary. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. I got to tell you, today's callers are they're the best today. It's crazy how many people call, and I love hearing more and more people call. It's just wonderful.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, I do too.
So I'm looking at a list right here, and I saw it over the weekend, and the top five largest worst firefighters in U.S. history are the one in Maui. That was in 2023. Then the next five are California, and California, one dating back to 1933.
And what's the reason, do you think?
California, if you haven't been there, I know you have, but for those who haven't, it's only green where you water it. Everything else is a desert. It's a freaking desert.
Yeah, I forget the underbrush, what that's called, but yes, that's what it's built on. Yeah, so it's in a tenuous spot. That's why you have to have really competent people to deal with this.
I don't know how you have the largest ocean on the planet sitting
right
next to you, and you can't get water to do a fire. That befuddles me. And we're in 2025.
Right. And, you know, even if there's some concern with salt water in some instances, but desalinization plants would be a great project. Israel and others would show them how to do it in a heartbeat. Gary, it's because the bottom line is they really don't care about competency ultimately. And it bit them here. So their only fallback is to say climate.
It's climate's everything. I mean,
yeah.
It, out there, it is climate, and the idea is you live in a desert, so it's going to be climate forever.
Exactly. What's your side there?
So I read a good book recently. It was about the Rudolf Diesel. It was a fantastic book, and one of the greatest things about it were the facts that he had in it with respect to Standard Oil, which is leading to my side question. And I learned that John D. Rockefeller grew up in Ohio. His dad basically was a no good guy, left him after stealing his lunch money with, I think, three or four brothers and sisters. And he became so wealthy at one time, his wealth was estimated at 3% of the United States GDP. 3%.
Wow. That is a very good answer. Yeah. Rockefeller was not born rich or anything like it. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. So what we're watching for, President Trump is going to go there. I'm sure that we are going to contribute the federal tax dollars. But how do you play strings on these people? They may say anything. They're not going to recall people in charge to say to get this money that were the actors who set up this whole situation. No, they won't do it. Can't leave people stranded that are living there, hundreds of thousands of them, one way or the other. How do you get strings on this? I can't think of anything that was successful that dealt with this. Let's go to Robert Ben Salem, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, and Dan, too, even though he's not there. It's good to talk to you guys today.
Thanks, Robert.
Before I get to the side question, what you're talking about with us sending money to California and what you were talking about earlier with the salt reductions from federal taxes, all of this is a way for Democrats in these blue areas to tax the rest of America to cover for their shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting sick of it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, but let me give you the other side. I'm in complete agreement. The other side is trying to do that with people that are stuck there through no fault of their own, other than they may have voted for these people. How do you politically turn away from that?
All you do is say, no, you guys created these problems. You guys fixed them. You cannot ask people in Pennsylvania to subsidize you guys because you vote for people that give you such a high tax burden. It's state and local taxes. Fix it at your level. Don't transfer it on to us. It's the same in California. Their incompetence is leading to us having to send them $250 billion, you said?
Yep, and in their neighborhood, yep.
And when Joe Biden did the last bailout, notice we didn't get any money, but the blue states and the blue cities got a bunch of money to cover the deficits that they ran up before COVID. So basically, it's just a transfer of getting the American taxpayer at large to pay for the shortcomings of people that you elected in that state. Fix your state. Don't come to us for subsidization. You know what I mean?
Look, I hear you. And the other thing is some of the Trump people starting trouble inside the Republican Party. The string they want is to get rid of the debt ceiling. No, no, no. We don't want to get rid of the debt ceiling on top of everything else.
Oh, absolutely. But the point here is that before they started talking about this, I debated this on another station. And my point was the same on the salt reductions.
Sure.
After Trump suggested this, I'm still saying that's the case. I'm not going to change because Trump's thinking about it. I would say to anybody who has his ear, please think twice. Don't make the Americans pay for the fallacy of voting for liberals in these blue states. Be fair, because it's not fair, Dom. It's really not fair.
No, I agree. And look, we have a lot of people listening in New Jersey. We don't want them to be harmed by it. They're in a tough spot. But I would argue that we're coming to the rescue. We're going to win the governor's race. I would put it maybe 55-45, our shot, given everything. Presler's on the march there. This is going to be a win. So once we have that, we should start to lessen the affordability, the burden, et cetera. We just got to get the right person that will be the nominee ultimately.
Absolutely, Dom. All it takes is quality leadership. And you won't have to rely on everybody else to cover for your mistakes. That's all.
Exactly. What's your side?
My side question, I decided to go with funny today. I really liked Gary's answer, but my answer is Monty Cappelletti. That was Rodney Dangerfield's character in the movie Easy Money, where he had to make nice with his overbearing mother-in-law in order to inherit her fortune. Funny movie, and I won't say the money shot line because I don't think it would play on your radio, but I'm going to go with Monty Cappelletti because I'm going with funny today. And you guys have a great
day.
You, always fun, Dom.
I see that. I know of the film, Henry, but do you know of that Monty Cappelletti?
I wasn't aware of the film, but as soon as I heard Rodney Dangerfield, I was like, okay, I get a sense of
several,
what it is.
Right?
He's got several,
where he plays this oafish billionaire somehow or another. That's a perfect thing for him. All right, I love Joe of Exons. His is next here. It's a pretty good one, outside the box, but true. 855-839-1210. Rags to riches, Horatio Alger Day. Get in. It is the lightning round next on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, only in Philadelphia, the superintendent of Philadelphia schools, Mr. No Snow Days for You Kids, Tony Watlington has been named the National Superintendent of the Year by an organization. All right, Henry, start the investigation back there in the producer's room on this organization, DALI, DALI, District Administration funny. Leadership Institute. They're in Florida. Oh, man, this guy's a national superintendent of the year.
Appropriating a famous artist's name,
yeah, that's
too?
Right. Oh. Yeah, Salvador Dali group here. And how in the world? There's got to be thousands of superintendents. This is who they jammed. And one of his initiatives is one snow day. Remember that in the schedule. After that, we're going to be on homebound Zoom learning. All right, let's go to the great Joe of Exton on Talk Radio 1210. Joe, good afternoon. Happy Monday.
Yes, hello, Dom, and happy Monday. The co-founders of Black Lives Matter went from rags to purchasing three luxury homes in California, two of which burned, and the third one, which escaped the flames.
Joe, that's a very good one. Yeah, just think about it. What was their net worth? And then suddenly, magically, all these homes were in there, the George Floyd summer. That's a great one. Let's go to Bruce in the Northeast. Bruce, afternoon to you, Bruce.
Tom, good afternoon to you. I was going to answer the question today.
Yes.
That she was a female author who had the Harry Potter series, and I always get her name mixed. Is it J.R. or J.K. Rowling?
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, she became a billionaire with them, with that.
Yes, and she's a hero of mine too, Bruce, because she's one of the few people that stepped up to the trans mob and spoke in reasonable terms. And they haven't been able to cancel her. So there's that.
Very good. That's the power she wields.
Yes. Thank you, Bruce. Good one. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony. Earl, what's yours?
Well, Dom, my guy is Mo. He started out as a poor, uneducated Yemeni tribesman. His family moved to Saudi Arabia. He started out as a porter, just pushing a wheelbarrow full of dirt at a construction site. The first job, the skilled job that he got was as a bricklayer. He eventually started his own construction company, and he made friends with the king of Saudi Arabia. He realized that the king was getting old, so he went and built a ramp at the king's palace so that the king could drive from one floor to the other with his car.
Oh.
So he became the favorite of the royal family. When King Faisal overthrew King Saud, he loaned the royal family money so that they could start the Faisal regime. He built Faisal's castle or palace. He became the official builder of the royal family, built all the mosques in Saudi Arabia, and is listed as one of the wealthiest people in Saudi Arabia that is not a member of the royal family. And that would be Mohammed bin Laden.
Yes, there's a lot in that I know myself. Not every detail there. That is a very good one. We're getting the heavy hitters. Horatio Alger Day. You know, I don't know if his books sell anymore. Maybe if I think there's going to be a thing now for A.J. Brown the next game to be reading what book on the sideline.
Oh, totally. Everyone's going to be paying attention to that now.
Yeah, it might be a side question there. That'd be an interesting choice. Bill in Palmyra. Hey, Bill, afternoon.
Afternoon, Dom. Hope you had a good holiday.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, I did.
Good. My answer for the side question is a guy named Henry or Hank Rowan, R-O-W-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Virginia of an ordinary family, later enrolled at MIT, left to join the military, Army Air Force, came out, got back into MIT, and came out as an electrical engineer. He developed a technology for heating, melting, and welding alloyed metals and other types of material. He founded a company in Burlington County, Inductotherm, and it became so successful that he approached the president and trustees of Glassboro State Teachers College and said to them, look here, I will donate $100 million to Glassboro State if you will establish a college of engineering and rename Glassboro State Teachers College to Rowan College, which is now Rowan University.
That's a great one, Bill. Nice description here. All right, Henry, we had several contenders today. I wrote down a few, but give me a few of them here that you think are worthy to be the winner today.
Man, this was a tough one. I really like the history lesson at the end there from Bill and Palmyra.
Yes.
But I like the answers of, John Rockefeller, even though Gary on the phone prefaced, he said, this isn't going to be a good answer. And then he said it to me. I'm like, dude, that's a great answer. What are you talking about? So John D. Rockefeller. And then I like Joe and Exton's answer of the BLM founders.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I mean.
A lot. It was outside the box and true.
It was, yeah.
I mean, you talk rags to riches, not exactly a lot of hard work there. Just stir up billions of dollars in damage and then get fancy mansions. All right, let's go with Joe of Exton. Let's put his name into the hat. And away we go. Tomorrow, we hope to be talking with Scott Jennings from CNN, who's masterful. We have the confirmation hearing start tomorrow with Pete Hegseth as the major player. And we also have, from this event with Scott Presler, over the weekend, I think they're going to come on. People that are announcing a major, major initiative in, of all places, New Jersey. When you hear what it is, it indicates that Jersey is fertile ground now, somewhat, for conservatives or moderate conservatives or whatever. There is a bit of a changing of the guard there. Follow on Twitter until tomorrow at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210, and Gates, the former Secretary of Defense in both parties, said it best with what Joe Biden is saying today. This guy's been wrong on every major foreign policy thing over the last 40 years. I would make it 60, but there's that. All right, Rich Cioli is next here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.